The cheese is cold. So, old cheese, Shaq. And the chips are stale.
Come on, man.
And the thing is, you know, some places get you good nachos, they put jalapenos. The sun's be putting pickles on it.
Come on, son. How about the parking over there, Chuck?
It's plenty of parking.
Welcome to Cold Pickle Nachos, a Phoenix Suns podcast soon to be dedicated exclusively to the immense talents of Kobe Brea. I'm Logan Mosier, and I'll be overreacting to Summer League for your amusement. With me as always is the incomparable Ryan Walker, a man who once witnessed Marcus Banks score 42 points for the Suns' 2007 Summer League roster in person.
That I did, and if you're asking if I overreacted to that too, the answer is a definitive yes.
You thought Marcus Banks was going to be good. Anyway, we've both been traveling. Ryan is actually doing this podcast from Australia. So there's a lot to catch up on in this episode. We'll get to free agency, Devin Booker's extension, and the looming Beal buyout soon. But first, here's the Cold Pickle Nachos starting five with five overreactions to the Suns' first Summer League game. Number one, Kobe Brea is the long-lost third Splash Brother. Does he have room to grow with ball handling, passing, and defending? Sure, but that shooting stroke is pure genius, and he has great size for his position. Brea played so well Friday evening that he forced the announcers halfway through the game to learn how to say his name correctly.
Yes. Number two, Ryan Dunn looks like he's been working on his game and could be ready to make the big leap this year. Dunn is clearly too good for Summer League, and that includes on offense, where his improved handle, smooth shot, and obvious confidence shone through.
Number three, Young Dikembe has incredible potential. Maluach is clearly going to have some growing pains. His handle isn't ready, he's not a good in-game shooter yet, and he at times seemed overwhelmed by the speed and physicality of the game. But all the raw tools are there, and you can tell he wants it. The sky is the limit for the Suns' latest lottery pick.
Number four, also too good for Summer League, Oso. He is a force out there with fantastic athleticism and an advanced basketball IQ. He's a jump shot away from becoming a rising star. But that shooting form, yikes.
Oh, so bad. But oh, so good everywhere else. Number five, the Wizards Summer League team is not much different from their regular season roster, and the Suns hand it to them early and often, playing with an energy, athleticism, and joy we haven't seen associated with the Suns basketball team in far too long. It was one game and a relatively meaningless one, but it was also a hell of a good start. And with that, let's dive deeper into Summer League. I think a good way to do this would be to kind of look at all the key players and just kind of review what we saw from them. Again, Summer League doesn't always mean that much. Kevin Durant famously had a lot of critics after Summer League. Tim Duncan got outplayed by Greg Ostertag in Summer League. It doesn't mean everything, and it's just one game, but it is nice to kind of see these guys on the court sometimes for the first time and get a feel. How do you feel about our boy Young Dikembe?
There were some ups and downs. I think it was very clear from the beginning that the coaches told him, we're not worried about the outcome of the game. We want you to jack up some threes. And he was clearly not comfortable, and he would shoot not only threes, but contested threes. At the end, he buried one, which, hey, confidence. And he got up the six threes they wanted him to. He had a couple of nice blocks. I think overall, he was a good anchor. And you know, overall, I think he was a solid B+.
I think you maybe rated him a little higher than I would. But I also am not that concerned about the actual game. I'm more concerned about the projection. The kid's 18 years old. He picked up basketball late in life. He played for a Duke program that did not ask him to do anything but finish dunks and protect the rim. So he's doing a lot of things at a high level for pretty much the first time. I mean, obviously he played for the South Sudan national team, and he's had some moments. But, I mean, you might have noticed, like, Cooper Flagg's first game in Summer League was kind of rough. Con Knipple's first game in Summer League was kind of rough. So I'm going to be interested to see, like, how he develops over Summer League and, more importantly, 3-4 years down the line. I was not expecting him to be anywhere near a finished product. So when people were freaking out that we picked him and picked up Mark Williams, I was kind of confused about the hate on the Mark Williams thing, because it's like, no part of me thinks Molly Watch is going to come in and be like our starting center right off the bat, especially the type of starting center that we want him to be, which is a guy who can come out and shoot threes, dribble towards the basket, do a lot of like crazy stuff for a guy his length. And size. I mean, he's 250. He's not like you get a lot of centers who come out at age 18 and they're, you know, Manute Bolton, and that's not Maluach either.
Right.
You mentioned he hit that three-pointer at the end, and he just played in general better towards the end of the game. And I think ultimately it's about, well, you said confidence, but I think it's about being comfortable. I don't think he was comfortable to start, and why would he be? But if I'm just judging him on this performance, he definitely got out physicaled, and he definitely didn't have his handle ready. Got a little flustered by the speed of the game. But if you take away the huge expectations that you're going to have for someone coming into Summer League as the 10th pick, with all the upside that he has, I think it was a positive first game, and I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
And just to put a bow on it, there were multiple moments where Alex Saar did something athletic that clearly he had not seen before. And, you know, that's what makes Saar for the Washington Wizards very intriguing, because he has those glimpses and those flashes. So, you know, not every day you're going to see a guy get up and block young Dikembe's jump hook.
Yeah, I mean, he's been disappointing, but he was the number two pick last year for a reason.
Yeah, so overall.
Yeah, and also it's like the Wizards aren't exactly excited with what they've seen from Saar over first two summer leagues either. It's really not a venue or a forum that you usually see great stuff from rim running bigs. So
that's a great point. That's a great point.
We'll see. What you do see in Summer League is second year players who are really good show that they are too good for this. And luckily that is all I have to say about Ryan Dunn.
Yep.
He looked confident, and Ryan Dunn actually in his post game interview made a great point of like, you can critique like Maluach or the you know, some of the other young guys, but like Maluach is a lot more aggressive, tried a lot more things than Dunn and Oso did last year. Dunn and Oso looked good last year, but they certainly weren't like putting up big numbers or anything like that. But this year, you could just see it, like Dunn has a chance to put his stamp on this team, show more of a leadership role. He's obviously more comfortable. And like the thing that I really take away from watching Dunn is like his jumper looks better. His handle looks better. He looks comfortable. This was a guy who was taken at the end of the first round, despite the fact that many experts said he was the best defender in the entire draft, and maybe the best defender for a couple drafts, like one of the better perimeter defenders as a prospect. And he was late in the first round, which tells you how little people believed in his offense. But if you just watch Ryan Dunn now on offense, and let's say he was like kind of like a negative on defense, and you were just judging him on his offense, he looks like a potential star on offense the way he's going right now. Obviously, he'll have to take several more steps if he wants to do that in the regular season, but he seems like he's on path.
Absolutely. And another thing that I noticed is he looks quite a bit bigger just in general. He's been in the weight room and he's carrying it well. And
well, yeah. How many times have you seen announcers, like the announcers for this game, I think mistook Dunn for Oso 12 times. Like they're constantly calling Dunn Oso and Oso Dunn. So obviously he's got some size out there.
Yeah. And as far as all your other points on Ryan Dunn, completely agree. Very excited to see him take the leap this year.
Probably the person I was most excited about relative to expectations was Devin Booker. Wait, sorry. I got that. Kobe Brea.
Kobe!
I saw 6'6 reserve guard for Kentucky with a silky smooth jumper that can't be stopped by anyone ever. And I just assumed it was Devin Booker, but it's 41st pick, Kobe Brea, who I might have to get his jersey. Is that available yet? Or is this like a Marvin Harrison situation? I need it now. So impressed. I mean, not only did he make 5 out of 6 3-point shots, he shot 10 shots. He got 19 points, had that nice drive to the basket for the and one. But it's not just about making it. It's about how smooth he looked getting that shot off, how beautiful that shot looks. That looks like an NBA weapon right now. And I think you got to consider he might not be on a two-way halfway through the season or even when the season starts, if he keeps this up.
Yeah, and you know, we said this on draft night. When you're picking midway through the second round, the one thing you just hope for is they have a definitive NBA skill. And we thought he did, but seeing it in person and seeing his catch and shoot, I think solidifies the fact that last year he led the nation in 3-point percentage.
Two years ago. It was awesome last year too.
Is a catch and shoot guy. Like he doesn't need to dribble around.
I think he's got more than catch and shoot though, the way I'm seeing him move.
Right. But what I'm saying is like catch and shoot, that is a definitive NBA skill.
Right. He's going to come in and be able to help that right away. And, The exciting thing with him, it's like it's not like he doesn't have athleticism. If you're playing him at shooting guard, he actually has fantastic size. So like he had some bad turnovers. He's probably not ready on defense at this point, but I think there's a path to that. And he's showing flashes already, like that back cut with that really nice dunk that he got off the Yuri Collins pass. I don't know. There's a lot to like. And I mean, I remember thinking Devin Booker coming into the league was basically seen as an elite shooter. And I remember the knock on him was like, can he do more than shoot? So like sometimes you get those guys who have that one elite skill. And if they have the right attitude and the right tools to work with, I don't know. I wouldn't limit him. I think,
okay. I
don't want to overreact, but let me ask this question. This is important. Is he the greatest basketball player ever named Kobe yet, or does he need to do more?
Okay. I'm leaving that alone. He does need to do more. I think it's important for our audience to know this is a little bit tongue in cheek. We don't actually think after one summer league game, Kobe and Devin Booker are basically the same.
He's more very... Steph Curry.
Okay. But it was very encouraging to see him on the offensive end, and the rest of the stuff will come.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't ask more from a 41st pick in his first game. Very exciting. Let's move on to Oso Ighodaro, who had probably the best Suns highlight of the game with that dunk. Absolutely ferocious dunk. Probably the best highlight of the game was Trey Johnson, who looked great. He put our boy Young Dikembe on a poster in a unique way when he got up and bounced it off of him. And then it's great, great move. Trey Johnson looked great. Oso had that. And then I don't know if you noticed at the end of the game, he had this really great play where he was driving and it looked like he was going to kick out to a 3-point shooter. And instead he found Maliwach for probably Maliwach's best finish of the night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it really highlighted that I've been saying this about Oso. Like, the guy looks like he has improved significantly in so many areas, but then you watch him shoot the free throws and it's like, okay, he's got the same shooting form. And so the question becomes like, can you play Oso with Mark Williams? And I would say probably not for long stretches. Can you play him with Nick Richards? No. So it comes down to, can you play him with Maliwach? And Maliwach was 1 of 6 from three, but at least he was shooting them. So there's like a path there. Also, like, you could play him at the five for small ball five. But the question with the thing with Oso is like, he's so dependent upon who his four or five next to him is. But I do think we need to keep him in the organization. The more stuff I watch, because you get all the stuff coming in. Like, first of all, like, Ryan Dunn and Oso Iguodaro give very strong Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson twin vibes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great for just the vibes of the whole team. And the dude's just smart. Very, very smart guy. Very, very smart player. Seems like a great guy. Seems like a guy you would love to have as a teammate. And I think that stuff matters, especially for guys who have as many talents as Oso does. So I'm officially on the keep Oso around, even though we have three legit centers besides him.
Did you see that Oso crashed Young Dikembe's press conference afterwards? And that was fun. And then the one play you didn't mention was Oso's first scoring of the game, where, to quote the late, great Bill Walton, throw it down, big man.
Yeah.
He got, I mean, up.
Yeah. Dude's an athlete. He's undersized for a five, and he can't shoot for a four. But there's so – I mean, you don't want to just judge him on what he doesn't have, because what he does have – there's a lot to like there.
And he did it without having to, like, at least the first summer league game, he did a lot of the things he did without having to be set up. He would do things like, you know, strip away a defensive rebound and get a dunk, you know, like just the little things.
I mean, he brought the ball up the court a few times and was pretty successful in it. Mm-hmm. Kind of that Draymond Green thing of get the rebound and go. So I don't know. He might be smart enough to succeed without the jump shot in multiple lineups. We just got to see it. And then you just hope, you know, he gets a jump shot that doesn't make him effectively 6'2".
Oh, so great. I concur. Let's keep him. Protect him at all costs.
Yes. Okay. Huntley. This is one of our three two-ways. He's an older prospect, played 5 years in college, but he is 6'11 with a long wingspan, seemed like a nice finisher. And what really stood out to me is, like, for a 6'11 athletic guy, he was really playing hard, and like you could tell how hard he was playing on defense, and at his measurables, that's enough to where that's a two-way player you should be excited about, because I could definitely see him having a future in the league.
And he wanted to dunk literally everything. The moment he got the ball, he was like, how can I figure out, even if he was 15 feet from the basket, it was, how can I figure out a way to dunk this basketball?
Literally, if DeAndre Ayton ever got that, which I don't think is actually possible, you're looking at an all-star. Yeah. You know, like, that's all you want sometimes. I think he's probably fairly limited, Huntley, but for a two-way, that's the type of two-way. It's the type of guy I want to see on the Valley Suns continue to grow. So sure. Really happy with him too. We didn't see our boy Rashear Fleming. Last thing I saw, he did get some practice in, and they were saying he's day-to-day, and the hope is that he, quote, is able to play before summer league is over. So we'll just have to wait and see, but obviously very excited to see what he looks like once he gets out there, if he hopefully gets out there. Other players that I just want to call real quick, Boogie Ellis and Yuri Collins played well at point guard. I was a little bit more excited about Yuri Collins than Boogie Ellis, just because Collins is a little bit more of a playmaking, setting up other guys type of point guard, whereas Boogie Ellis is more of a scorer. I don't think either of them probably make the roster, especially since we have our two ways set, but I'd love to see both of them, especially Collins, on the Valley Suns. And then Moses Wood looked good when things were going right, but then weren't going right a lot.
Yes. Moses Wood had a little bit of a rough game.
But he was the catalyst for one of our best stretches. So, you know, he's got something.
There you go. Boogie had a great game. Collins had some flashes. I think any one of them has a chance to make the Suns roster this year? No, but
maybe down the line. I could see a world where Yuri Collins goes to the Valley Suns, has a great year, and then gets on like a Gillespie type of path. It's unlikely, but I don't think it's possible. Why not?
Yep.
So after first game of summer league, overreaction time, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks were there, a lot of good vibes. The trade is now Green, Brooks, Maliwatch, Fleming, a second round pick, and Kobe Brea. So, trade's looking better right now. Like, would you trade Kobe Brea for Kevin Durant straight up right now at the same contract? I don't know. That's for our listeners to decide. I did notice though, that Eric Spoelstra specifically called out Khalil Ware for low effort. Ware has not exactly stood out, in summer league. So obviously I think the guy's incredibly talented, but, I'm liking the vibes of the high energy, high character guys that the Suns brought in that trade. And while I don't see us winning a championship this year, I am getting good vibes about the path that we're on, at least from a team chemistry standpoint.
Well, I think Brooks and Green both said, like, based on all the rhetoric around the Suns, like, they come in, they feel the vibes, they feel what the Suns having, and they think, they're not saying championship, but they're like, we're going to be a lot better than people think we're going to be. And I think that's because just nationally people just assume, oh, same old Suns, same old Suns. But the Suns are vastly different right now than they were 2 months ago.
I want to see it on the court. And maybe the biggest takeaway from this summer league game is like, this is a team that looked like they had it together. This is a team that looked like they cared. This is a team that looked like they came in and they were playing the way that we want them to play. Props to Damari Carroll for his first head coaching work. He seemed like he did a great job. And you can only pass the tests that are before you in the moment, and they passed the first test.
Agreed.
All right, let's talk about free agency. We haven't had a lot in free agency for the Suns yet. Possibly part of that is because of the Bradley Beal situation, which we'll talk about later. But we did have one free agency addition that was not a two-way, and that was Nigel Hayes-Davis, who was the MVP of the EuroLeague Championships, put up, I think it was 51 points in a EuroLeague game, which is like scoring 70 in the NBA. I mean, not talent wise, but just it's harder to score in EuroLeague. I remember him from the Frank Kaminsky Wisconsin teams. Always liked him. I think the knock on him at that point is he's not, he's a below the rim player, and was more of a center in the way that he played, even though he's like 6'8", you know, like a traditional power forward type. But since college, he's really worked on his game. He's become an excellent three-point shooter. He has a very long wingspan, which seems to be a priority for the Suns and certainly not something I'm upset about. And he was a star in EuroLeague, and that doesn't necessarily translate, but it's a fun flyer and a good fit. My official take is, like, I think it's more likely to be a Yuta Watanabe, Kata Bates Diop type thing where he'll have some flashes, but this probably won't matter that much. But there are worse flyers to take.
Yeah. So to tell the audience a little bit of a tangent story, when this happened, I was on my way to Australia, and Logan basically framed it as three things happened, and he said the first two, and I was so elated I didn't even care what the third one was. And the first two were Plumlee gone, signed with another team.
I think the Hornets.
And Tyus Jones gone, signed with another team.
The Magic.
And that is all I wanted to hear. And then he said, Nigel Hayes, Davis, we signed. And I said, we could have. Like,
as long as it's not Nigel Hayes Plumlee, I'm good.
Yes. We could have signed a ham sandwich and I would be over the moon. So I.
Yeah, because Coach Bud's not there to play the ham sandwich either. So that's a win.
Yes. So either way this year, Nigel Hayes Davis is going to be nothing but good vibes for me.
Okay, great. Until he starts taking all of Ryan Dunn's minutes, and then you.
Why would you put that out into the universe?
I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. Finally, so I mentioned we have all three two-way contracts have been filled out. Although I think there is a chance Kobe Brea is going to get a regular contract before this thing's over. We have him, Huntley, and then they signed Isaiah Livers. He's a former standout from you'll never guess where. It's not Michigan State, but it is Michigan. He played some real minutes for Detroit, he was injured like all of last year. So coming off that injury, but I mean, at one point a couple years ago, he was the guy that, Pistons fans were like, well, Isaiah Livers is too good for summer league. So there's some upside there. I will say they did that 7-team trade. And out of nowhere, it showed that the Suns got Daquan Plowden. And so I did like a deep dive into Daquan Plowden. And I will say I didn't know anything about Daquan Plowden before I did research. I didn't know much about Isaiah Livers. I knew a little bit. Based off what I saw, I was a little bit more excited for Daquan Plowden than Livers. But, I mean, we're talking about your third two-way contract, so – I'm not going to die on the Daquan Plowden hill, and I hope Isaiah Livers ends up being a stud.
Yep. Who knows?
All right. So you don't have 20 minutes to give us on Isaiah Livers, Ryan?
I don't. Okay.
So if the Suns move off Beal, and we'll come to that in a second, and then they don't bring up Brea because they're blind and can't see that he's the Wilt Chamberlain of two guards already. That leaves two spots available. Gambo was on vacation and said, I'm going to drop news in 15 minutes. And about an hour later, dropped the news that the Suns are looking at acquiring a point guard or combo guard with that open spot. And then immediately Suns fans were like, oh my goodness, we're getting Chris Paul, the point guard, back. And then he immediately shot that down again. So I want to play a little game. It's called Guard Me.
Okay.
And so for this episode's game, I'm going to take the six players I would be most excited about who fit that point guard, combo guard title. And I'm going to give some statistics and facts about them, paint a portrait. You know, there's a famous thing that people do on Twitter. They'll be like player A, player B. I'm going to describe all these players. I'm pretty sure Ryan's going to figure out who some of them are, but the game is not for him to figure out who they are. It's to rank them 1 through 6 on who, based off what I'm telling him, he would want the Suns to sign. And then we will, after he ranks them, assign those, tell him which players those are and see if we want to change those rankings. Sound good?
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Player A is 32 years old, 6'2", with a 6'8" wingspan. He's known for his defense and energy. He has a career field goal percentage of 55.7% as a point guard or combo guard. That has not dipped below 55.7% for 5 years straight. That said, he's never averaged over 7.1 points per game, and he only played 22, 44, and 62 games the last 3 years, respectively. Okay, so that is okay. Player A, 32-year-old defender with great career field goal percentage who keeps getting hurt.
Okay.
Player B, 32 years old, 6'4", with a 6'11" wingspan, career 15.3 points per game, career 39% three-point shooter. Known for his basketball IQ, you might guess who it is based off what I'm telling you now. He was a former Rookie of the Year and former Sixth Man of the Year who had a 50-40-90 season. Unfortunately, the last 2 years, he played only 39 and 24 games, and he's 32 years old.
Okay.
All right, so you have a good feel for who A and B are in your mind?
I have guesses.
Okay. Again, don't need to guess the players. Just want you to rank them.
Okay.
C, 36 years old, 6'4" with a 6'8" wingspan, over 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists for his career. Known for his energy and athleticism, not a reliable 3-point shooter, and known to make some questionable decisions. And you can probably guess who that is, but we'll just continue the game here. Yep. I may not have mentioned a big award he's won. D, player D is only 27 years old, 6'3" with a 6'8" wingspan. He's a former Phoenix Sun. He's known for his defense, but has averaged double digits in points 4 years running and is a career 37% three-point shooter. He plays 22 minutes per game, but still averages at least 1.2 steals per game every year he's been in the league. He only played 38 and 6 games the last 2 years, but his last healthy year, he led the league in steal percentage.
Okay.
Okay. Player E is 28 years old. He's 6'10" with a 7-foot wingspan, has career averages of 13-7-7. He's known for his athleticism, versatility, and defense, in theory at least. He's not played 60 games in a season since 2019 and has not averaged more than 7 points per game since 2020-21. You might
and
know
how
who that is.
Did you say that he is?
He's 28 years old.
Okay.
Last one, 25 years old, not technically a free agent, but there's rumors he may become one. He has a career 12.5 points per game and 25 minutes per game. Despite being 25, he has some starting experience. He's known for his scoring ability, including getting to the basket, but he is not as efficient as some, and he's not known as a great defender.
Okay.
All right. So how would you rank these players 1 through 6 on how much you'd want them on the Suns, just based off of no names, just who you'd want on the Suns?
I would say number one, I would put, was it E, where it was
28 years old, 6'10", with a 7-foot wingspan?
No, D.
27 years old, former Sun, known for his defense.
Yes, I would put that number one.
Got it.
I would put B or A, number two.
A, number two, known for defense, career field goal percentage of 55.7%, but has never averaged over 7 points per game.
Yep.
Okay.
I would put B, number three.
Okay. Got it.
I would put...
So that leaves the 36-year-old, which is C, the 28-year-old, who's 6'10", which is E, and the 25-year-old is F.
C, I would put at the number six position.
Okay.
F, number five.
And the 6'10" guy, number four.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm ready to reveal.
Okay.
What Ryan's number six option for the Suns. I'm going to say you knew that was Russell Westbrook.
I did. I did.
I'm going to say if you didn't know it was Russell Westbrook, he might have gone a little higher, but it's kind of hard to hide that it's Russell Westbrook. He is a top 75 player of all time, just not the past few years.
Yeah.
Number five is a guy that I think if you heard the name, you would have him rated higher than five. But part of this, the point of doing this was to kind of get a feel for like what we want to add. That's Cole Anthony.
Okay.
Cole Anthony was traded to the Grizzlies, and there's talk that for because they need to free up space for Jaren Jackson Jr.'s contract, and there's not really a role set for him, that they're trying to trade him, but he might get released. And I could see him going to the Suns. But I think we're on the same page of like, are we really excited about adding a guy who's a volume scorer and not a great defender?
Right. Exactly.
Number four, you probably knew was Ben Simmons. Because how many 6'10 point guards do you have, especially ones that used to be great and inexplicably are horrible now?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you'd probably switch those. Like, you'd probably rather have Cole Anthony than Simmons now knowing who they are, would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Simmons is such a polarizing thing. Like, I think in a certain organization, Simmons could be very useful.
We're paying to get Bradley Beal off the team for his bad vibes, and then we're going to bring in Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so that takes us to the top three. You have them. We have the same top three, but I would switch three and two. You have Malcolm Brogdon, number three. Brogdon, obviously a decorated career. Staying healthy is the big concern. He's a smart defender, and I think could be a steadying force. I'd be pretty excited if we signed Brogdon. Number two, you had Gary Payton. Mm-hmm. Which, doing my research on Payton, I knew Gary Payton II was an awesome defender. And I know it's like very low volume, but it's kind of crazy to have a career field goal percentage of 56% as a combo guard. That's wild, actually. And that's with, he didn't start his career that way. So it's like, if you look at his last 5 years, it's higher than that.
He's very selective on offense. And that is not a bad thing. When you have a defensive stud, you want him to be selective on offense.
Sure. I guess my concern is, when you factor in the injury concerns and that he's 32, you know, you might as well have Malcolm Brogdon, who's a better player.
Okay, that's fair.
Because that's the knock on, you know, if Gary Payton was not injured, if he didn't have injury concerns and he wasn't 32, he would not be available. But right. If Malcolm Brogdon was younger and didn't have injury concerns, he would be making a lot of money.
Yes, 100%.
And then we both agree on number one. I'm assuming you know who this is, especially since he's a former Sun. But career 37% three-point shooter, led the league in steal percentage, averaged double digits in points 4 years running. That is 27-year-old.
Landry Shamet.
How dare you even say that name? D'Anthony Melton. D'Anthony Melton would probably be my top signing for the Suns at this point. I think he would play great with Booker, would play great with Green at this point in his career, and would continue to build kind of our vibe in a really good way. So the way I see it, if the Suns sign Melton, Payton, or Brogdon, I'm going to be really, really happy. If they brought in Anthony, I'd be pretty happy. And if they brought in Simmons or Westbrook, I would talk myself into it, but I would have concerns. And then those are the guys on my radar other than Paul, who it seems like is not coming here. Anyone I didn't mention in this little game that kind of stands out is like, oh, I'd like to have him.
You know, there are a couple of guys that I wouldn't mind kicking the tires on. I wouldn't pound the table for them. But, you know, somebody like Chris Boucher, I wouldn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant for like a combo guard.
Oh, got it. No. Those. Okay. You've covered the combo guards.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I also like Boucher. I just don't think it's going to happen. So I don't – there's not That's much cool. point in bringing up. I just don't think he's coming here. So, okay, let's get to the elephant in the room. We were told Bradley Beal was going to get bought out, waived, and stretched a few days ago. It hasn't happened. I don't like compounding that problem for 5 years going forward, but I've come to terms with it. It does give us a lot more flexibility. It would make next year more fun. And for all his faults, Ishbia is willing to pay. So maybe that works out. At this point, I just want something to happen. Last thing I saw was in Mark Stein's Substack, he mentioned one reason it's taking so long is Beal maybe waiting for an early payment that's supposed to release on July 15th of $13 million. It's money he'd get anyway, but this would allow him to get it early. It's just kind of annoying. I want the guy out of the uniform at this point. I've been saying just keep him, but now that we know that we're not keeping him, almost definitely, I just want it over with.
Yeah, I guess that is plausible that he's waiting for money that he's going to get anyway, but he wants it 2 days sooner. Okay. I think
I'm not going to start a Malik Beasley type rumor, but sounds interesting to me.
I think it's one of, like you said, it's going to happen. So what our views are irrelevant because it's going to happen and we just need to come to terms with it. I think it is strange that it hasn't happened yet. You're wondering, you know, what kind of, because until we see the details and how long it is, it's hard to say anything about it because we don't know.
I think he has to give up $14 million in order to do the waive and stretch. And as I understand it, that would get us under the second apron, which would allow us to use a certain type of mid-level exception, which is maybe why some guys like Melton, Brogdon are still like on the market. The other interesting thing is it would potentially allow us to combine contracts. And so it's interesting to think about, like, who could we combine Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal, or one of those two with Nick Richards, and maybe make an interesting trade. So those are some things to like consider as potential positives once the Beal buyout happens.
Absolutely. And to further that point, I think it is interesting that we are going out of our way to save two roster spots at this moment. Right. And so you have to think the Suns have an idea of what they want to do with those two roster spots. And there's a lot of options if you can get under the aprons.
For sure. I have a big question for you. This is a good way to transition out of this. Now that Beal is probably going to be on the Clippers, who's the biggest hate watch? Beal on the Clippers, Durant on the Rockets, or the Lakers, who now have added Ayton?
Oh, that's not close. It's Ayton.
Okay.
It's the Lakers. Beal, the answer is always the Lakers.
Okay. But that's, you're not saying like you're hate watching Ayton more than Beal necessarily. It's that it's Ayton on the Lakers.
Exactly. Beal on the Lakers, the answer would be easily Beal. Like, it's the Lakers.
We would get the first overall pick, the first number one pick in franchise history, pick the wrong guy, and then somehow the Lakers end up getting that guy and the guy we should have picked, even though they didn't pick them, either of them, to start with.
Yeah.
That would happen.
That would happen. Yep.
So you're saying a Lakers championship this year would bother you more than Durant getting traded to the Rockets and them winning a title, or Bradley Beal hits like a game winner in game 7 of the NBA Finals to give the Clippers a title?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much.
Okay. The last thing that we're going to talk about, and I think it's a testament to Devin Booker how little I kind of care about this, just because it just seemed inevitable and it's just a thing you just kind of take for granted, if that makes sense. He signed a record extension, added 2 more years to stay with the team. I don't have much to say because we've already discussed, like, this is a pro Devin Booker podcast and will always be a pro Devin Booker podcast. So it's just kind of a thing that I expect to happen, and I didn't get that excited about it because it's just like, yeah, that's Booker. He kind of is the Suns. The big thing I took away that I liked is that so many people showed up to support him signing that on the team, and those players also showed up to Summer League. So getting really good vibes on the team in general. Do you have anything to add on the Booker extension?
Yeah, just for all you people who look at the headlines and say, I can't believe Devin Booker's making $75 million a year. He's not. He, for his whole 5-year contract now, he's making around 60, a little over 60. So it's
And not- when you hear about a guy getting a, like, setting a new record, that actually can be a good thing because those records go up every year. So if he happens to be the high level, I've been an all-NBA player, I got the Supermax early, that's going to look better as time goes on than the guy who sets the record in a couple of years. It's not the worst thing.
Right. So very happy he is. You know, our guy, he wants to be in Phoenix. He's a great story. Yeah.
And I'm going to be interested to see, like, now that he is, because I do think he at times took a little bit of a back seat out of respect for Durant. He's back to being the unquestioned number one guy on this team. And I think that's where he's going to shine more. I'm expecting a big year out of Booker. And obviously we need a big year out of Booker for this to be a fun season.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. Well, we covered a lot. But things are hot in the Suns universe, so look for even more to come soon. Will the summer Suns continue to scorch the Nets? Will the Beal buyout finally become real? Will the Suns add more free agents or make trades? Tune into the next episode of Cold Pickle Nachos to find out. Until then,
peace out, homies.
Peace out, homies.